Acts 24, while you're standing, we'll read this together, and then let you be seated here in a moment. Again, it's good to have each one out today. Appreciate that. And I enjoy our church family and pray for you often. Love you. And ask God to bless and use each one. Acts 24, I want to preach today a message entitled, If Not Today, When? And I want to preach, kind of pick up where I left off last Sunday. And just deal with some things as well. Look at verse number 24 with me. I'll read the first verse, and then you read with me on the second responsively and down through the chapter. We'll just read down to verse number 27. We'll kind of pick up here in the middle of a context. But it says in verse number 24, and after certain days when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. I want to focus today on verse number 25, where the Bible says, And he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Felix trembled and answered, Go thy way, for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. If not today, when? Lord, today we come to you. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you, Father, for the Spirit of God that lives within the heart of the believer. And today we just ask the Spirit of God would have free course today in this place, in our hearts. God, help us today. Illuminate our understanding. Guide my tongue, Father, I pray. And save Chris, save those that need to be saved today and help Chris as we ask in your name. And believe and pray, amen. You may be seated. We discussed last Sunday morning in the morning service, the battle for the mind. And as I read through the scriptures, and it just seemed like there's so many different places where that comes out, where there's a battle for the mind of an individual. We see that today in our own world, our own culture. Today there's a battle not just for the direction of America, but really the mindset of America, the mindset of our families. And that's been challenged now for a long time, and we see it even worsening today. And what controls your mind, what will control your actions in your heart. We see this battle take place, and I want to talk to you about that today and from the scriptures. And I want to talk to everybody here today. This is not just, if you feel like, well, he's just talking to me. I'm talking to everybody, talking to myself included. But I want it to be a help to you this morning. We're going to look at a few scriptures today, so I want you to turn there if you possibly can with me, and I'll give you time to turn there. But let's look today, first of all, introduction. Let's look today at John chapter 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, please. If you find those two places, John chapter 8 and 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I'm going to read John chapter 8 first, and then we'll go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. In John chapter 8, I want you to just notice with me this one verse, verse number 12. John 8, 12, the Bible says, Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. Amen, you believe that? He's the light of the world. He was sent to be the light of the world, to give the light of salvation, to free men from darkness. He says in verse number 12, it says, He that followeth me shall not walk in, what? Darkness, but shall have the light of life. God says there's a difference between a person that's following Christ and how they understand and how they walk and a person that does not have Christ. One walks in the light and one walks in the darkness. He said, I'm the light of the world. And if you follow me, you're not going to walk or live in darkness. Now look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I'm going to connect this with Felix here in a moment. In John chapter 4, look with me at verse number 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. This ministry of preaching the gospel, Paul said it may be difficult, but we're not going to faint. We have a ministry here. It says, verse number 2 says, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. So Paul says, we've preached the word of God, not dishonestly. We've not twisted the scriptures. We've not used the scriptures for our own benefit, to benefit us, but we preach the word of God honestly without craftiness, for the salvation, of men, to preach the gospel of Christ. Verse number 3 says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Now watch verse number 4. Whom the God of this world, it's referring to Satan being the God of this age, whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. So we find here that Jesus Christ said, I am the light of the world. I come to give light. And when men believe in me and trust in me, they'll not walk in darkness. We find in the scripture, the Bible also says that the devil, Satan, the god of this world, he is the master of deception. And his goal, his agenda is that to blind the minds of people from the gospel, lest they should be saved. He wants to blind the minds of people that they would walk or continue to walk in darkness. Satan works to keep to hide the gospel, to keep the lost and unsaved man lost and unsaved. He blinds the minds of them that believe not. Satan works to prevent the gospel of Christ Jesus from illuminating the understanding of the lost man. And Christ said this in John 12:35, for he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. Jesus Christ, listen, when you reject Christ, when you reject the light of the world, and God, and Satan blinds the minds of the lost man, or even of the carnal man, that this man, he walketh in darkness, he does not know where he's going. We live in a day in an age of America where our politicians have no idea where they're going, because they're walking in darkness. We have a generation that has grown up that has cursed father and mother and rejected Christ Jesus, and they're very adamant in their direction, but they have no idea where they're going. They're walking in darkness. And by the way, Satan is glorified and he's satisfied when men refuse the light and walk in darkness. So there's a battle now for the mind, the battle for our heart, the battle for the soul, spirit of man. And Satan... So here's the question today I want to answer. How does Satan blind the minds of those who are lost? And Felix is the man that answers that question. Felix is a man that is in such a condition. He was blinded. Now, let me ask the question. Why is Paul, in Acts 24, why is Paul before Felix? In Acts 20, Paul is finishing or ending his third missionary journey. He's determined to go to Jerusalem to celebrate the Pentecost with the church that is in Jerusalem. So he's determined to go there. And though he's been warned by many, Paul, if you go to Jerusalem, you're going to be arrested and killed. And Paul said that, listen, my life is not, the gospel and the preaching of Christ Jesus is more important than my life. And so Paul is determined to go to Jerusalem. And when he gets to Jerusalem, he meets with James and the elders of the church, and he spends time with them. But then 7 days later, he's in the temple. Well, in the temple, there are some Jews from Asia that recognize who Paul is. And they begin to create quite a stirring chaos in the temple there. And in fact, it got so bad that Paul feared for his life that he'd be killed right in the temple. The captain of the guards, a man named Claudius Lucius, was a Roman captain of the guards. He heard of the commotion. He came down to the temple, and he actually basically rescues Paul from being killed by the Jews. And through a course of different actions and situations, Paul is taken from Jerusalem and delivered to Felix in Caesarea. What was the charge against Paul? Well, look at Acts 24, verse number 5. You find what his charge was. It says, For we have found this man a pestilent fellow, and a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes, who also hath gone about to profane the temple. So Paul was accused now by the Jews of being a pestilent fellow. He was a problem. He was a man that caused disunity and division. He was a mover of sedition. He was trying to usurp the Roman Empire and change the direction of Israel. He was a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes, and he wanted to profane the temple. The Jews didn't like Paul bringing Greeks in the temple. And so they're upset about that, and so they caused these problems. And this accusation that was against Paul was really, they were saying that he was a threat to the way of life, the Jewish way of life, but he was also a threat to the unity of Rome. Now, Rome was a very powerful empire in the day, and they were very strict about the unity of Rome and being in submission to Rome. And anyone that would cause any problems against the Roman Empire was, of course, a threat to them. And so Paul now stands before Felix. Well, who is Felix then? Felix is a Roman governor over Judea. According to Roman history, Felix was a Greek slave that was freed and rose to the position of the power of governor over Judea. Felix was a corrupt and greedy man, cruel man, not the history tells us. Felix was married 3 times, according to history. He was married here in Acts 24. He was married to a wife named Drusilla. Drusilla was a Jewish, a Jew, the daughter of King Herod Agrippa the First. And it was said that she was a very beautiful woman, a very young lady at the time, but very, very beautiful and desired by many men. In fact, Drusilla was already married to another king. His name I can't pronounce very well, but he was a king of Emesa, and she was married to him, and Felix lusted and wanted her so bad he seduced her to leave her first husband and marry him. Now, Felix was very corrupt in his nature. We find that verse number 26 where it says that he would hope also for that money should have been given him of Paul. And so Felix kept Paul in prison or arrested, hoping to be bribed for his release. We find that verse number 27, but after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix wanted to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. Felix was so corrupt and such a greedy man and so wicked that the Jews were very unhappy with Felix. And so he didn't want the Jews to go to Caesar and tell Caesar how bad he was. So he was trying to please the Jews to keep them happy. And so he was so corrupt, though, we find that he was replaced then by this man named Porcius Festus and taken out of leadership there in Judea. But he was a very corrupt man. But listen, I want you to see how Felix was blinded to the gospel. Let's look at the situation this morning and see how Paul stands before him now. And of course, Paul's going to be delivered to Rome eventually. And then, of course, in a few years, be beheaded for the sake of Christ. So this is part of that journey to Rome. But let's look at Felix and how he was blinded to the gospel. Verse 24 says, after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. So Felix had this desire. Now, by the way, Felix would have, being a Greek and living during the Roman Empire, he would have worshipped many gods. He'd have been an idolater. He'd have worshipped many gods. And of course, they worshipped the sun god and the moon god and all kinds of gods they worshipped. And Drusilla would have been, of course, a Jew that was a Christ rejecter. And no doubt she'd have her own problems if she was married to a Greek and not another Jew. And so we find that this is a very pagan household, if you will. But he was curious about Christ. He wanted to hear about the way of salvation, the faith in Christ Jesus. And so we find that though he had, would have been a Greek that would have worshipped many gods, and Drusilla was a Jew that had rejected Christ, we find that he was interested in the gospel, in the faith in Christ. Now, according to Acts 4, in fact, let's turn back to Acts 4. Hold your place in Acts and look at Acts chapter 4. Let's look at verse number 8 together for a moment. Watch what the Bible says here in Acts 4, verse number 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, he saith unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, for we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is a stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Now watch verse number 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now I bring that up this morning because of this. Festus, or Felix rather, would have been a worshiper of many false gods. And though he was corrupt and greedy and cruel, no doubt he had a desire for eternal life. Even Drusilla, this Jewish lady, no doubt she had a desire for eternal life, a desire for heaven. And so they had worshipped their gods, and they had worshipped their false religion. And so now Felix is interested in the faith in Christ Jesus. And so Paul reminds him now, here's how we see this, that you can believe what you want to believe, but there's only one person that can save you, that's Jesus Christ. Amen. There's not many truths. There might be many religions and many opinions, but there's only one truth. That Christ is the only way for a person to be saved. It's through his sacrifice upon Calvary, and by being redeemed by him and washed in his blood, that a man must be born again and be saved. You can believe what you want to believe, but there is no other way to heaven but through Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. And no man can come to the Father but by him. So we find that this, we have an opportunity now for salvation. God had ordained this opportunity for Paul to stand and preach the gospel before Felix. Though Paul was warned by many in the church house and by some prophets, Paul, if you go to Jerusalem, you'll be slain, you'll be in prison, you'll be killed. But God uses opportunity to present the gospel to Felix. God is able to use our situation to spread the gospel to the lost. This idea that, preacher, we're in a pandemic and the coronavirus and the election is bad and all kinds of fraud. Sometimes we get all shook up and what are we going to do? Well, God can use our situation to present the gospel to the lost person. And God gives this opportunity for Paul to stand before Felix, a lost man, and preach the gospel. Which tells me this, that God can use you in your situation to get the gospel to the lost person. Don't get to the idea, what am I going to do now? Use it for God's glory. We should, as a Christian, we should never be silent when it comes to the gospel of Christ. We should always be willing to preach the gospel no matter where we're at and what we're doing or who offers a persecution. God uses our opportunities to spread the gospel. It tells me this too about Felix, that no man is too fallen to be saved. Now think about that for a moment. Felix was according to history, according to the Bible, Felix was a very cruel man. He was a very greedy man. He was a very corrupt man. He was involved in many pagan idols and worshiping false gods. He was guilty of adultery. He took another man's wife. But now God brings Paul to Felix because for Felix to get to hear the gospel of Christ Jesus. No man is too fallen or too bad to be saved. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. As bad as Felix might have been in his life, a wicked man, a cruel man, a corrupt man, he was so corrupt the Roman Empire fired him because of his corruptness. But God said, I'm not willing that he should perish. He should die and go to hell. And so Christ, though we may today be around all kinds of people, involved in all kinds of things, God uses opportunities in our life, in the Christian, in the believer's life, to give the gospel to the lost man because no man is too fallen to be saved. So preacher, you don't understand what I've done in my life. Though that may be the case. But you're not too lost to be saved. You're not too big of a sinner for Christ to redeem. And so listen, by the way, Christian, if God said when the innocent should perish, then we as a believer should not be when the innocent should perish as well. Have a heart for the lost person. And so salvation does not hinge on the depth of a man's righteousness or evil. Salvation hinges on the depth of God's mercy and grace. You are not too lost, too much of a sinner to be saved. And so now Felix questions Paul concerning the faith in Christ. Number two, I see this, the conviction of the Spirit. Verse 25 says, and as he reasoned, this is Paul now, as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled. So what happens here? Paul now has been brought in before Felix. Felix asks him the question about the faith in Christ Jesus. And Paul now begins to preach the word of God to Felix. He's not there to defend himself, to try to justify himself, but he's there now to preach the gospel to Felix. And he preaches, first of all, he preaches three things. He preaches on righteousness. Salvation demands absolute righteousness. Matthew 5:20, Christ said this to the Pharisees. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. Christ said to the people, listen, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees and of their religion, you can't be saved. Salvation demands absolute righteousness. Here's the problem. Romans 3:10 says, there is none righteous. No, not one. So Christ now, he demands, he says, listen, and Paul preaches to Felix, for a person to get to heaven, God requires absolute righteousness. But there's none righteous. There's none worthy of themselves of heaven. And God, and Christ in his own earthly ministry said, listen, unless you are perfect, and complete righteous, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. But here's the glory of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so Paul preaches Jesus Christ to Felix. He said, listen, Felix, you've got to be perfect and be righteous before God, but you can't be because of sin. But the Bible says, and Christ came, and he was made to be sin for us. Christ became our sin upon Calvary. God slew him upon the tree of Calvary because of our sin. And Christ exchanged our sin for his righteousness. When you trust in Christ and believe in Christ, he takes your sin from you and washes you white as snow under him with the blood of the Lamb, and he gives us his righteousness. We put on a new robe, if you will. We take off that old ragged garment, put on his spotless garment. So when God sees us, he doesn't see you as a sinner. He doesn't see Paul a sinner. He doesn't see Ed Mass a sinner. He sees the righteousness of Christ. He sees me as absolute righteous because of my faith in Christ. So he preaches to Felix righteousness. Then he preaches to Felix temperance. You know what that means? He preached against Felix's sin. He preached against Felix's sin. Felix, this corrupt man, this man of absolute greed and corruptness and this unwanted fleshly desires, he preached against Felix's sin. You see, the Bible preaches against sin. Amen. I was told this, I read this week an article that preachers shouldn't tell people about their sin. We can't call it now sin. We've got to kind of skirt over all these hot topics. And we should let people come to the conclusion themselves that they are sinners. But the Bible here, Paul preaches to Felix, he preaches temperance, he preaches against Felix's sin of greed and corruption, adultery, living in sin and living in corruptness and lying and cheating. He preaches about the flesh. You see, we find that as a believer, we're told to walk in the Spirit and be holy as God is holy. We're living in such a crazy day and generation of Christians who do their best to try to live in the flesh and justify it by the Word of God and saying, why can't I, rather than living in the Spirit and walking, trying to be holy as He is holy. But Paul preaches now to Felix about temperance. Then lastly, he preaches about judgment to come. He preaches that Felix, we're all going to one day stand before God and give an account. Listen to these verses, Romans 14:11-12. Here the Bible says, for as is written, I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. so that every man, so that every one of us should give account of himself before God. Hebrews 9:27 says, as appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. Revelation 20:12 says, and I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book according to their works. You see, no man will escape the judgment of God. So Paul now is preaching. Felix said, listen, Paul, tell me about Jesus Christ. Tell me about your faith. I've heard about your faith. I've heard about Drusilla's faith, about her religion. I've got many gods that I serve. Tell me about Christ Jesus, whom you serve. So he preached to him righteous. He preached to him how Christ was a righteous man, son of God, came to save us from our sins. He preached against Felix's sins. He preached about temperance, about holiness and righteousness, and he nailed his hide to the wall about living in corruption and lying and greedy and adultery. And he preached about judgment to come. Felix, one day you and I will stand before God and give an account for our lives. And every lost person that rejects Christ Jesus will stand before God and be judged for their works. John 12:48 says, he that rejecteth me, seeth not my words, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall be judged him, the same shall judge him in the last day. Listen, the world can live how they want to live. The truth of the matter is today that the lost man will one day, that last day, stand before God. So, well, there is no God. Doesn't make it so. Well, God's going to outweigh. When I get before God, He's going to take my good works and put them against my bad works and weigh them out. And if I do enough good things, I'll be saved. No, you don't have any good works to be sent before God. Before God, they're all as filthy rags. Before God, every good thing that a man does, the lost man, all that he can do before God, God calls an abomination. God says to the lost man, listen, if you reject Christ, my wrath is upon you every day. And no matter what you do, I'm angry with you every day. And so Paul preached to Felix judgment. Now the world today says they can't preach that. You gotta preach nice things and good things, but Paul says, listen, Paul reminds us that, he said, listen, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Because of judgment, we preach Christ. Today I wouldn't be a good preacher if I couldn't say, listen, believer, first of all, believer, you and I as a Christian will stand before Jesus Christ and give an account. Now, we won't lose our salvation, but we will give an account before Christ. And every lost man, God will judge. Now, here's a scary part. The Spirit of God convicted Felix. The Bible says in Acts 24:25, Felix trembled. Felix heard preaching on righteousness and temperance and judgment, and Felix began to tremble like he never had before. Hey, the service of the Baal never caused Felix to tremble like that. Worshiping the false gods and all the Greek gods that they had in those days never caused Felix to tremble like that. Hearing about Drusilla's way of the Jewish religion never caused him to tremble. But now, hearing about Christ Jesus and giving account and saying before God, he trembles. He's convicted. We find this through Scripture, this conviction of the Holy Spirit. When Paul heard the voice of Christ, he trembled before God. And he said, Lord, what must I do? What wilt thou have me to do? When the Philippian jailer fell under conviction with Paul and Silas, he trembled and said to Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? You see, God sends His Spirit to convict us, to convict the lost man of righteousness and judge of temperance and of judgment to come. Say, preacher, I don't like feeling bad. It's not about what you feel. It's about the Spirit of God convicting men of their sin and pointing them to Christ Jesus. And Felix, he trembles here. He's under great conviction. You see, conviction is not a bad thing. It's the work of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. But let me say this to you. Conviction doesn't make you saved or right with God. Felix was convicted. He trembled. And there are times you might sit in church and say, well, boy, I felt convicted in that service. But conviction doesn't make you saved or right with God. I want you to see. You see, there are some who are convicted and they'll say, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to get right with God? But there are some, like Felix will say this. See what Felix said in verse number 25? Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. See, Felix said, go away. Not now. Not today. I'm not ready. Don't bother me with that. I don't want to change my life. I don't want to give up my life. And so he says, it's not, right now it's not convenient for me. And so he trembled. He was convicted, but he pushed Christ away. So we see the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. Now number three, I want to see this. The procrastination of faith. Felix puts off salvation. He puts off faith. He in verse 25 says this, and he said, go away for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Now we find that Satan now begins, now here's what I'm connect these verses together with 2 Corinthians. Satan now is going to blind the mind of Felix. He's going to blind the mind of those that will not believe. See, Satan doesn't mind if you hear the gospel. Doesn't mind if you sit in church. He wants to deceive you from coming to Christ. He wants you to convince you that this is not a convenient time, it's a more convenient season. So since one of you can sit in church and hear the gospel being preached, you can be convicted. He don't mind that so much. But he wants to convince you that there's a more convenient time for you to be saved and serve God. But how does he do that? How is it a person like Felix, who now hears the gospel, he trembles at with conviction, but he puts it off? How does it happen in a church house where the unsaved might hear the gospel and be convicted and realize that I must be saved, but then put it off? How does it happen in a church house when Christians hear the gospel of God and hear the word of God preached time and time again, and they can be convicted about their life, about their sin, and God draws them to Him, but we say, God, not today, not now, it's not convenient for me. What blinds our minds and our hearts to the faith? Look with me at Luke chapter 17. Hold your place in Acts. Let me show you Luke chapter 17. Look at verse number 26 with me. How did Felix get so blinded? Well, he could hear the gospel of Christ, be greatly convicted. More than most Christians today are convicted about stuff. Can I ask a question they thought being rude or arrogant? When's the last time you trembled? When's the last time the altar was filled with people who trembled and said, God, I need you? When's the last time we felt convicted of our sin, of our pride, of our arrogance, of our hard hearts? Felix was convicted. But what blinded him? Look at Luke 17, verse number 26. It says here, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall also be the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also was it in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted and they builded. We find here what it is. Well, look at verse 29. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven, and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Now here's my thought today about why is it that men are blinded? What blinds men to answering the call of the Holy Spirit of God? Receiving salvation, receiving Christ, or even for those that are saved, what causes them not to want to serve God and give God their whole heart and love Him? Life. Life blinds us to the gospel. You see, Jesus Christ warned, He said, listen, in the days of Noah, They got so consumed with life, the here and now, the temporal, that they rejected Christ and were lost. What blinds men? Life blinds men. I cannot come right now. It's not convenient for me to come right now. I know it's true. I know I should be saved, but right now I'm young and I'm having too much fun. I want to run around and play. I want to be involved in sports. I want to have fun and party. I'm young right now and I just want to go and eat, drink and be merry. So life blinds men to Christ. Some say, I can't come. I'm married. I have responsibilities. I got to take care of my family. I got to take care of my wife. I got to take care of my children. I got to go to work. And life blinds men to the gospel. Some say, I can't come. I can't be saved right now. I got work to do. I got bills to pay and a family to provide for. I'm just far too busy right now in my life to serve God to get saved. It's not convenient for me right now. But in a due season, when I'm a little bit older, things a little more calm in my life. My family's a little bit better in my life. When I have a little more money to be made and a little more stable, and then I'll get saved. Then I'll serve God. They're blinded by life. Some say, I can't come right now. I have too many problems. And boy, men, we do have problems, don't we? I've had folks say, preacher, my life is so much harder right now, I can't come to church. Well, that's where you should be, in church. Part of the reason you have problems is because you have been blinded to Christ. But sometimes people say, I've just got too many problems right now. My family's a mess. My home's a mess. My life's a mess. I just can't come to church right now. I can't serve God right now. And here's, by the way, never think that because you got problems, that people in the pew are better than you. Because everybody that sits in this church house in the pew has problems just like you have. They don't have, they did have. No one comes to Christ perfect without spot or blemish. We all come to Christ broken, in need of a Savior. But life blinds the minds of people. Jesus Christ said in the days of Noah, they were living life. They were just eating and drinking and marrying and giving a marriage and doing what they wanted to do. Life blinded their minds to Christ. Some say, I can't come. I can't be saved right now. I'm offended. I'm mad. I'm mad at people. I'm mad at my family. I'm mad at my parents. I'm mad at my grandparents. I'm mad at the preacher. I'm just mad right now. I'm hurt and suffering. It's not a convenient time for me to be saved. And boy, it is right now a convenient time to be saved. If you are hurting, Christ is the balm of Gilead that can come and soothe your soul. And heal your wounds and bind up your broken heart and give you grace and mercy to face your suffering. Some say, I can't come right now. The church is full of hypocrites and sinners. I would go to church, I get saved, but there's just too many hypocrites and sinners in the house of God, and I'm going to wait for a while. Listen, if you can't go to church because of hypocrites and sinners, answer me this question then. Where can you go? Because in your house, there's hypocrites and sinners. Don't give me that look. How dare you? In your job place, there's hypocrites and sinners. You can't even go to the Fairway store without finding hypocrites and sinners. Doctor, the school, where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? And by the way, the church house is a hospital for hypocrites and sinners. Christ didn't come to save those that need not a physician. He came to save those that were sick, those that were sinners. You see, oftentimes we think this, that people are with bad things blinded to the gospel. And Christ said this in the last days. You know, Satan blinds the minds of people with life. With life. They want to have fun, entertained, sports, married and given in marriage. What that means, marrying, divorcing. They want to just run around, have a good time. And this may not be like criminals, felons, but life blinds them. Remember that parable when Christ said to invite people to dinner? Some said, I can't come. I have a wife and she won't let me come. Some said, I gotta go check out my farm I just bought. I just bought some oxen. I gotta go check them out. Life blinded them to the gospel. Today the devil does a great job blinding the minds of people to come to Christ due to life. Now here's the day of the problem. Here's what I want you to see in conclusion. Look back at Acts 24. Life happens, brother. And it's a battle. I think the young person, sometimes in their life, they're just interested. If they're not careful, they're interested. Preacher, I'm just young. I want to have a good time. I don't want to be bound down to a church house or serving God right now. It's not convenient. I just want to have a good time. Then we get married. We have a family. All of a sudden, we're too busy. Later on, when things are calmer, when things are easier, when things are a little bit better for me, then I got a wife and kids. I've got responsibility. I've got to make money. I've got to work hard. And boy, today the world makes it so you have to work hard. Husbands and wives working 2 or 3 jobs. Not like it used to be growing up. Families are split. Kids, bills. But then as you get older, it's like, you know what? I just want to take it easy right now. I've worked all my life. I just want to take it easy. And Satan blinds the minds of people through life. Here's the problem. Look at verse number 26. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and commune with him. So we have this communication between Paul and Felix. And Felix has got to a place where he just simply wanted to be bribed. Money. Verse 27 says, but after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room. That means Felix was replaced by Festus. Here's the situation. We see now an indifferent mind. Felix, as far as we know, never got saved. He never found a convenient time for Christ. And he died and went to hell. See, the danger for the lost man is to be blinded by the gospel, to no longer be moved, no longer have any conviction, never to tremble, never to fear God, but you become content in your religion, become content in your sin, you become content to live without Christ. You become indifferent to God's word, and you run blindly into hell. That was Felix. The danger of this being blinded, for Felix was he became indifferent. He no longer cared. He once trembled, but now all he's concerned about was, give me money, pay me off, bribe me. What happened? He got blinded by life. He became indifferent, became hard, became stubborn. Today I want to warn you as a pastor, be careful about being indifferent. Putting off the Spirit of God. But I say this, not today. Not today. Not now. It's not convenient. If not today, then when, my friend? Listen, today, if you're here, you're not saved, and you feel convicted about being saved, the Spirit of God is speaking to your heart, if you say, not today, but when then? When will you be saved? When? Today, if you're a Christian today, and the Spirit of God has convicted your heart about something in your life, you say, not today, it's not a convenient time for me, in a better season, I'll come and get right with God. If not today, then when? You see, what happens is you'll sear your conscience, and you quench the Spirit of God. By the way, there is a time in your life when God will say this. I don't know what it is, but I know this. There's a time in your life when God says, all right, if you don't want me, I'll leave you alone. And he'll stop convicting you. You'll no longer tremble. Now today, I want to close in conclusion with this thought. Here's a challenge. You are not guaranteed tomorrow. You're not guaranteed a more convenient season. Felix said, when it's convenient, I'll come. I'll hear you again. You're not guaranteed a more convenient season. Proverbs 27:1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Now, if you don't believe that, you've not lived in 2020. This year has not ended how we thought it would when it began. We have no idea what a day may bring. Several years ago, my grandparents, whom I love dearly, my grandmother fought cancer almost all her later life. She had cancer and problems in her stomach and had many surgeries. And so we had prepared that my grandma would probably die before my grandfather did. So the big thing was among the children and grandchildren, who would take care of Grandpa? Though Grandpa was a good man, he wasn't always easy to live with. And so the big thing was, listen, Ed, when Grandma dies, you get Grandpa. And that bothered my wife some, because Grandpa could be a bear, very picky man about everything. And one day, December 10th, I forget the year now, we just finished church. Cold day like today, snow on the ground. Grandpa got on his, put on his top coat, got his hat, got his cane. As he went to walk out the door, he grabbed his head, hollered a little bit, fell out the church door, then on the sidewalk, he went to convulsions. We called the ambulance, of course. The ambulance came and took him to the hospital there in Independence, basically a Band-Aid station. Then took him and hauled him to Waterloo, I believe to Allen Hospital. Next day, my grandfather died of a massive aneurysm. And just like that, he was gone. My hero, man that I looked up to and loved greatly, my mentor in some areas, gone. We all thought grandma's going to go first because she has cancer. But we didn't know that on December 10th, God would say, all right, Dave, calling you home. Say, you don't know when God's going to say, it's your time. Today's your last day. Felix said, in a more convenient season, but never one came. See, today is a day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says this, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Isaiah 55 warns us, he said this, he says, seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he may is, while he is near. You see, today you're not guaranteed tomorrow. Today is a day of salvation. And God said, listen, seek the Lord while he may be found. That tells me this, that God will always deal with you. Can come a time in your life when God says, all right, if that's what you want, I'll let you have it. There'll be no more. I read this little story. So the bright boy heard, was deeply impressed by the text, my son, give me thine heart. But Satan whispered, time enough yet. He put it off. 10 years later, a brilliant college student heard the same text under circumstances which seemed to make that the time of his salvation. Again, the tempter whispered, time enough yet. 20 years later, a statesman listened to the same text from the lips of an aged bishop and felt it was a message to him. This time the tempter said, visit foreign countries before you decide. A traveler in Paris was stricken with cholera, but his greatest suffering was agony of soul because he was not prepared to die. His last words were, too late. See, the boy, the college student, the statesman, the traveler were all one. Today I'm not worried about some evil sin blinding the minds of God's people or the lost. Satan's far too deceptive for that. He battles your mind. He blinds your mind with just life. Just living. We say, not now. Not today. It's not convenient. I'm too young. I'm too busy. I'm too old. And it's too late. Last question today. Today, if you're not saved, I'm not here to belittle you, to humiliate you. I'm here to ask the question. If you're not saved, if not today, when will you be saved? When? When's the right time? Will you wait till it's too late? Today, if you're a Christian this morning, you're just like, preacher, I know I'm not right some things, but not today. I know I should give up some things in my life. I know I should serve God. I know I should be more faithful to church, but not today. Can I ask a question then? When? 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 Isn't he worthy of serving today? Don't be blinded. Lord, today we come to you in closing. And I do thank you, Father, for your word and for this example of Felix. Lord, my heart breaks that this Felix most likely died and went to hell because he waited too late. But never came a convenient time. And God, he put it off and he put it off and he put it off. And Lord, he just became callous and no longer trembled. Father, help us today as here in this room, with a meeting that's not saved, that's not sure they're saved. Lord, my prayer today is that they'll not wait and put it off and put it off and put it off. But today be the day of their salvation. I pray for Christians today who may be struggling in their life with some type of what may be an attitude, a sin, Father, a problem. I keep on saying, not today. Lord, let this be the day they get right with you, Father. Let's stand this morning as our piano begins to play an invitation song. I want to ask you to come this morning. Felix waited until it was too late. And he died, went to hell. Today you say, preacher, Pastor Mass, if I died right now, I'm not sure for a Bible reason, heaven is my home, that I've been forgiven of my sin, that Christ is my Savior. Today, would you come? You've heard the Word of God preached. You've heard the Gospel. Christ came and He died for sinners. He came to save you and give you everlasting life. But religion and good works and humanism won't save you. Only Christ today can save you. You're not too bad. You're not too much of a sinner. You're not too evil, not too wicked. Christ this morning wants to save you. Today, if you've not been saved, would you come and get saved? Don't say tomorrow. Don't say later. If not today, when? Today, would you come this morning? We'll take the Bible, say from God's word how you can be saved. How about it, Christian, this morning? How about you? When will you get right? When will you give God your heart? When will you get all the way in? When will you serve God? When will you decide? Today, would you come this morning?